Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Let's go. I need you in the comment section down below. Before I get into this Kadarius Kern news, just tell me what you want to see from PHL this offseason or in the next couple of weeks. Do you want more film studies from potential quarterbacks, potential offensive linemen? Let me know. I'm always up for feedback. It is a feedback Wednesday here on PHL. And look, Kadarius Kern is a big loss. There's just no other way around it. He was a mostly fine true freshman starter on the offensive line. And the truth is, not everybody's Will Campbell. Not everybody's Emory Jones, where right off the jump, they're going to be elite, elite players. But when you look at the profile of Kadarius Kern, it's one, when he actually played this season, that fit that of a true freshman, right? You could see here, he had an abysmal game versus Texas A&M. Well, he was going up against Cassius Howell. That was the best defensive end in the conference this year, arguably. And then he had an abysmal game versus Arkansas. That was an emotional game for him, where they were rotating offensive tackles in and out pretty frequently. Probably couldn't really get into a rhythm. But you saw he had elite games versus Ole Miss. That was a game where he was just thrown right into action because Ori Williams broke his face in the pregame. And then he had a really, really, really good game versus Alabama, which to me is somewhat debatable because he did have three false start penalties, but the actual snaps where he was on time, he was really good. Or it wasn't three false starts, it was just three penalties. So the truth is, anytime you lose an offensive lineman, it's not necessarily is this guy good or not. It becomes a math problem, because the truth is, pretty much every offensive line that you will watch is going to have a weak link. And why are most offensive lines the position where there's going to be a weak link? Because that is the position in football that has the most players on the field at all times. Let me repeat that. Offensive line is a position at all times that has the single most players on the field. And there are instances where there's six offensive linemen on the field from time to time. So it is a depth position, and at the same time, there's not many great offensive linemen in the transfer portal. And that's a big thing. Even if you didn't think Kadarius Kern is all that great of a player, because there was some really, 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 really tough action on tape that we saw from him. The truth is, though, anytime you lose an athlete of this caliber, it hurts, because you don't know what he could have developed under Eric Walford and, of course, Lane Kiffin. So it's not a good day when you lose a player of this caliber. Now, why did he leave? Well, he was really close to Brad Davis. I got to know Kadarius a little bit before the season began, and when he committed to LSU, I got to meet him at a game, and I asked him, I said, hey, what's going to happen with your recruitment at LSU? Are you going to stay at LSU forever? He says, as long as Brad Davis is going to be there, I am going to be there. So, you know, Brad Davis, of course, is a great recruiter. He's a guy that gets along with the players. And the truth is, he's just a good player. That's all there is to it. A guy that, to me, had a really, really, really high grade. I am sky high on what he could do as a player. For me, he was the number one graded player in my own personal rankings. And at this point, I think I'm wrong on that. I do think Pickett and Barry are better players at this juncture. But when you factor in that this is an offensive lineman that could have turned into something, and at the same time, his defensive line tape was also really good. This is an offensive lineman that could do backflips, right? This is a rare, rare, rare athlete. Now, there are some other things that kind of held him back, right? In terms of understanding the playbook, understanding the position, there was a curve there, which is why you saw mistakes and penalties and situations where it looked like he wasn't even getting off the football. There were some nerves mixed in there as well. And then obviously trying to figure out what position was going to be his best was difficult when we had to put him in at a position that we may not have thought was his best, but we put him there out of necessity because the offensive tackle position was in such disarray. Now, LSU just recently lost a true freshman five-star offensive lineman to the transfer portal. That was a few years ago with Lance Hurd. Lance Hurd goes to Tennessee, and in his first season at Tennessee, he stunk. But this past year, which was his year three, he was really good. So it might be a situation where Kerryus Kern goes somewhere else and he struggles at times like he did this past season, but it still might not matter. So anytime you start getting into offensive linemen, you get into this numbers crunch and you simply just cannot lose too many of these guys. Now, even though that sounded very negative, the truth is Lane is a portal master and he is a guy that can coach up the offensive line. And if he truly is a scheme master and he has a quarterback who can run and get the football out in time, you should still be in a really good spot. And before I get to your comments, we see quite a few of you in here on a glorious hump day evening. There's so many competitive LSU shows that are out there. I'm very happy to be yours. We're going live during these first couple of weeks of the Lane Kiffin era, pretty much every night at 6 p.m. Central, Sundays at 8 p.m. Central. We now get into the offensive line depth chart. Okay, so you still have Tyler Miller, who's very interesting, the freshman out of Laurel, Mississippi, Solomon Thomas, the offensive tackle, the freshman out of Jacksonville, Florida, who was battling injury. Solomon was a flip. There was a heavy rumor that he was going to Florida State, and then he flips when Alex Atkins came to LSU, and he actually flipped before Atkins was officially announced at LSU. You have Ethan Callaway, who's not really done a whole lot. This was a high upside four-star offensive lineman out of North Carolina. Weston Davis, of course, a lot of you know the story with him. And then Ori Williams finally started to get some run. Once again, that was kind of out of necessity. How good was Ori Williams at LSU? The answer is he was fine in the limited action he was at the end of the season. But Weston Davis, of course, was really, really, really tough. I would like to bring back Weston Davis, though, so we'll see what happens. We then get into Hayes Fuqua, walk on. And then Kari Lee Jr. was a scholarship three-star offensive lineman out of New Orleans. I was high on him, and it's not worked out up to this point. We will lose Josh Thompson. Obviously, this is his final year of eligibility. And basically, you see here, we do return Braylon Moore. All right, he still has one more year of eligibility left. We'll see what happens with Paul Mbinga. He's not been good at all. And, this year was year three for him. The year before it was year two. We'll see what happens with him. Bo Bordelon, Brett Bordelon, Tyree Adams, Braden Augustus, Christian Stamps, Cohen Echols, and DJ Chester. Let's start with Chester here at the bottom. Obviously, he's not really been good at any position, but at this point, with the experience, you would like to have a guy that's played all these different positions as an emergency offensive lineman. Cohen Echols has been mostly good as a run blocker, but does have some balance issues. Then Tyree Adams, of course, very up and down season. Very, very, very up and down. But a year three guy who, of the non-Thompson and non-Moore transfer portal offensive linemen, I think most of us would agree that Tyree Adams was the best. So obviously, one big point of emphasis is going to be, can we get him back? Right? That's going to be the big, big, big point of emphasis because, of course, I want Braylon Moore to be our center next year after a fine first year at LSU. Now, we get to the next player that entered the transfer portal officially today, and it's also someone that has a relationship with PHL. He was the one that came on here and broke down film, and his name is Colin Hurley. He even brought his dog on PHL, and Colin Hurley's gone. He was a very likable guy. He was a guy that a lot of you really got to know in our interview, and this is a guy that's been through a lot. He obviously had the car accident that he was able to overcome. Then we had the bizarre personal matter situation pop up at the end of the season, which is strange. I don't know exactly what that personal matter was, but the timing couldn't have been worse for him because this was the opportunity. I mean, you've been committed to LSU for forever, and you finally get in a spot where it makes a lot of sense for you to play in an actual game, and he wasn't available. So I honestly don't know what that personal matter was. I hope, and I've prayed for Colin. But man, this is a guy who came in with a lot of hype. This was a guy who went to these Elite 11 camps and looked as good as quite a few of the quarterbacks there. But Colin is a shorter quarterback who reclassified, who's still younger for his age. I always brought up that I thought it was strange that he didn't play that final year of high school football.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
For being as young that he was. And we never got to see him play. We never did. You know, he wasn't the most mobile guy coming in, but he's a guy that's trained with some of the best trainers, QB trainers. He's trained with Anthony Richardson and actual professional football players, and it just simply did not work out for Colin Hurley at LSU. I would have loved to have seen him in an actual game environment, but his style of play probably would not have succeeded at LSU because he does need protection, as do most quarterbacks, but him in particular, for it to work. But his understanding of the game of football when we interviewed him, I mean, we were throwing all kinds of different things at him, and he understood it. And he wanted that. He wanted to break down the footage and all of that. You know, this is a pretty interesting stat, and it might just be a coincidence. But if you are really sad that Colin Hurley has left LSU, there has never been an LSU quarterback per the 247 database that signed with LSU out of high school, transferred out, and ended up doing anything. There was only one instance where I could find an LSU quarterback that transferred out and had a good season as a starter at another FBS school. And that was Justin McMillan. Okay. So, you know, I am of the belief that we're in a weird spot with the quarterback position because we have no one in that room. And this was brought up to me a little bit earlier that, well, you know, why don't we just bring someone else in? Well, that's the problem. You got to bring multiples in. You would like to at least have one quarterback hold over. So if you are LSU, do you say, hey, we might have to roll with Michael Van Buren as one of our two guys? All right. So, you know, for me, you look at all these other schools. Texas has had quarterbacks transfer and be elite at other schools. Georgia's had a lot of them. Ohio State, obviously. Alabama. We have never had a quarterback leave LSU and end up doing anything. Unless you want to include Ryan Perilloux, which was an interesting situation, but he went to Jacksonville State. So if you think that this is going to come back and bite us, history says otherwise. Now, I do think this is important as far as Hurley is concerned. I do remember at the time, if you, and I don't want to pull up these photos, the accident was pretty crazy. It was pretty crazy. And I know some of, I know some people in Jacksonville where Colin is from. And all they ever told me, and you guys saw it in the interview, is that he was a great kid. Great, great, great kid. But one who knows Colin said, I probably would not have reclassified. I would have played that final year of high school football. I think that is the one position where you really don't want to rush things too much. Now, there were some factors at play, but, you know. But, man, I have one source at LSU tell me, and this is kind of medical related. I try to, when I hear medical things, I try and keep it, you know, close to the vest for a lot of different reasons. But this is a positive thing in terms of Colin. They said, hey, Carter, it was miraculous that we even saw him, like, practicing, basically. So, as Ellie Mom points out, the injuries were crazy. Okay, so, yeah, I'm praying for. I was making sure I was correct. It was, I thought it was like 4 or 5 months. Per Julie Bowdwin of On3, it was 3 months. Crazy. We say hi to Sourdough Man. We say hi to Jared Addison. We go to Marvin. He says, Carter, you know LSU will be fine. I agree. Jeb, good to see you. Let's go to DK Go Tigers. Outside of a generational talent, everyone in NIL clown world is replaceable. It's not a big deal at all. Throw money at the problem to fix it. Okay. This is where I'll push back. You are right. You know, there truly are few needle movers that are so hard to replace. And in college football, you can replace needle movers with other needle movers a little bit more easily. Like, you know, we didn't have Jamar Chase play that COVID year. Boom, Kayshon Boutte. And Kayshon Boutte right into Malik Nabers and then right into Brian Thomas Jr. So, generational or just elite, if you will, you're right. It is replaceable. But where I push back is numbers. Offensive line is a numbers position. And it's one of those things where you have to have 7 on your team that you can rely on. We didn't have more than 3, and that is generous. And Braylon Moore dealt with injuries. And Josh Thompson came along slowly. And Tyree Adams was up and down. It's hard. Offensive line is really hard. Okay? It's really hard. But does Lane Kiffin have a plan? Yes, he does. He does. But you ask me, hey, what's the deal with Kern? Are you going to miss him specifically? Yeah, because, you know, I met him, talked to him. I think he could turn out to be a really, really, really special talent. But at the same time, I want you to think about what the offensive line at LSU would have looked like last year had Lance Hurd still been around. And once again, we were very unlucky in terms of timing that we had 2 offensive tackles basically precede Lance in the season before. They're not going to relinquish their position. And Lance wanted to go play. And Tennessee took care of him. And I don't think any one of us were too mad about that. We understood that. But, you know, for me, how much better is LSU this year if we had Lance Hurd? Probably a lot better. And Lance isn't a perfect player. You know, he had a bad game versus Alabama this year. When he played against some of the better teams, he struggled. But he was a better tackle than either of our tackles. So it's really hard at this position to overcome it. You can, though, with NIL, with recruiting, and, of course, you could do it with better play call. And all of those things you are going to have. Now, this is something else. I wasn't really shocked by this at all because of what I said at the beginning. Kern is close to Brad Davis. That doesn't mean Kern's going to follow Brad at wherever he decides to go next. But that was 80 to 85% of the reason why I came to LSU. Okay. Let's go to Chris Law. Why can't people leave Coach Lane Kiffin alone and mind their own business? Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if you're talking to me. Well, this is my job, and this really isn't a criticism of Lane. I don't think this was a Lane decision. Okay? And if it was, it might be that he saw the tape and saw some of the games that Kern played in it. He had some tough outings, but I don't think Kern is being told to pack his bags as a five-star offensive lineman with game experience, especially with this first start being versus your team, and he played fine. But I will say, offensive linemen in the portal fetch big bucks. They just do. Now, we then get into the next thing, and it does involve Lane Kiffin and his business. There's a lot of these Twitter fights that are happening between LSU and Ole Miss. And obviously still the biggest story of the past 24 is the Frank Wilson news of him leaving. You know, like I said, we're going to be doing a lot of live streams when there is so much news, popping up and down. Jamie, Sherry, good to see you. Emma Cat, Jay Addison, Richard on Facebook. Oh, Richard's in love. Look at that. Oh, Dollywood! He's at Dollywood! Oh, baby. This dream, baby. We started... Well, I was going to make a 9-to-5 joke. But we actually did start a live stream during the Lane process at 9, and I thought we were going to go till 5 a.m. But anyway, I want to get into what to me is the defining Lane Kiffin story for me as we move forward is there is a transition with the Ole Miss coaches going to LSU and the LSU coaches going to Ole Miss. And on top of that, the guy who's taking over for Lane is a Louisiana guy in Coach Golding. And it's one of those things that it's pretty unprecedented. You rarely see coaching staffs change, and you're going to have a direct switch at two positions, general manager and running backs coach. As direct as it gets, one guy is going to the other and serving in the exact same capacity. So it's a strange dichotomy, if you will. And there is still a bunch of melting down over Lane, Frank, and the potential of those two working together, considering they've worked together before. So it's a strange thing. It's a strange thing. What I will tell you, though, and I truly do mean this, is what we've seen throughout college football history is the brand matters more than any assistant coach. But the head coach is what truly moves the needle. Was Ed Orgeron an elite head coach? Probably not. But damn it, he did a lot of good things as a coach when he actually got the head coaching job. And I'm not just saying 2019 LSU. 2018, that was a very, very good team. 2017, yeah, we lost to Troy, but we beat Florida on the road the very next week. That was also a very good team. Ed moved off coordinators. Ed did a lot of really sharp things, and he deserves a lot of credit for a lot of the things that he did. And he was a better coach than Brian Kelly was a coach. We wouldn't have guessed that, but he was. And the truth is, we don't have the success if Ed doesn't go on the heater he went on for 2017 to 2019? Does he get too much credit for some of it? Sure, yeah. I mean, Bill Bush was a big reason why Joe Burrow came down. I mean, there's all this different stuff. But the truth is, head coaches is what moves the needle. It's just how it works. Do assistant coaches matter? You betcha. They really, really, really do. And Frank is a really good one. And there has been a lot of criticism over the running backs room at LSU not performing up to LSU standard. We've not had a 100-yard rusher in forever. We've not really had that dominant 1,000-yard rusher. I do think that's more of the environment and the scheme. I do think part of it is it's hard to run a regular rushing attack with a quarterback like Garrett. Our run game wasn't really diverse. Well, it was diverse in that we tried so many different things and none of them worked. So when you don't have a run play that works.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
It's hard to just do anything right. And, you know, for me, I keep going back to LSU at the running back position was at its peak when Frank Wilson landed Leonard Fournette. All right, a five-star to New Orleans. We give Frank all the credit in the world there. But my age-old belief is we tend to overvalue position coaches. Okay? We tend to do it. We say Adam Ello. And he wants to talk about Cortez Hankton. LSU needs to keep the wide receiver rotation homemade. That seems to work for us. So in-state wide receivers. It's going to be interesting, Mello. So let's talk about a few in-state wide receivers. Amarion Miller hit the transfer portal. Colorado Buffaloes. Okay. Then, of course, you had the situation where a lot of you wanted Kenny Darby. Lane went and flipped one of his guys, the barber kid, the wide receiver out of Alabama, who's got an impressive tape. I think he could be a really good collegiate slot receiver. I think he could play all three positions, honestly. And, you know, this gets brought up all the time about the in-state wide receivers. CJ Daniels was the first out-of-state wide receiver at LSU to catch over 40 passes at LSU since Terrence Tolliver. And that was a transfer. All right. And then, you know, Barrion Brown had the season that he had this year, and it wasn't really that great, if we're being completely honest. It wasn't terrible, but it wasn't great. Okay. So you're right. You know, most of the wide receivers you're able to keep in-house. But here's the problem with that, Mello, is wide receiver talent that are of the five-star Louisiana variety is very valuable. Now look no further than Easton Royal, who just committed to Texas. Easton Royal is very good at football. All right, I don't think Hanville is in here. If you are Hanville, please speak up because he was the one that put us under a rabbit hole. It was actually hour four of that five-hour stream. And we broke down Easton Royal's tape, and holy moly, it was really good, okay? But the truth is, five-star wide receivers are near mortal locks now to be studs. I'm serious. The On Three gets that stuff right. They just do. A few years ago, they missed on some, and they're like, no, we were not going to miss on one ever again. And they rarely do. Who were On Three's elite five-star receivers from a few years ago? Well, it was Jeremiah Smith, Cam Coleman, Ryan Williams, and Ryan Wingo. Looks like they got that right. Almost to a T. And then last year, who was their number one guy? It was DeCorian Moore. All right, so DeCorian Moore grew up loving LSU, was a five-star, grew up idolizing Odell Beckham Jr., And then Oregon came calling, and it hurt us. He was really good. He was an out-of-state wide receiver. So, yes, we're going in a different direction with Cortez Hankton, and I can publicly say this now that he's interviewing for other jobs. And our patrons got this, okay? And this isn't some kind of special scoop, if you will, but this did happen, and through various sources, I know that Cortez has actually seen this himself, okay? So I posted a photo in the Discord, and it got out of the Discord. It's okay. I went to a Pelicans game recently, and I got to see Derek Queen. It was like his best game of his career. And we lost a game to the Spurs. And I was walking back to my seat, and I got stopped. An officer stopped me, and I thought I was in the wrong section. You know, when you get stopped a lot, they say, hey, where's your ticket stub? You're going in the wrong way. And you guys know I'm not one to step on any toes when I'm at a sporting event. I just want to go to my seat, cheer, go crazy. And this man stops me and says, hey, I'm a big fan of your LSU YouTube channel. Love the way you break down film. And I had no idea who it was. So I went and sat down my Diet Cokes. It was Diet Coke. Wink, wink, nod, nod. Might not have been Diet Coke. And I walked back to the man because, anytime I get stopped, and it happened a few times that night, I want to talk. Anytime any of you see me in public, stop me. I want to meet you. I want to talk to you and get to know you. And it was Cortez Hankton's dad. All right, now think about it. I mean, their family is very successful. Cortez, obviously, a very successful college football coach, has a national championship. His younger brother, also on LSU staff. And Cortez's dad stopped me to appreciate me on the channel. And if he's a diehard, he knows I've been critical of Cortez. And I told him straight up, hey, I appreciate your son. I hope for the best for whatever he does next. And, it was already known that Ole Miss was going to bring over their entire offensive coaching staff. They're going to need to get new jobs. Okay. And obviously we talked about that, and I'm praying for Cortez, and Cortez has had a successful career. I'm more so praying for Corday, right? I want him to get a chance to coach somewhere else because it's hard to get your foot in the door, and Cortez is going to have no problem getting another job because he is a talented coach. But all of that aside, we talked about a few things and, stuff I'll keep to myself, but it's fascinating that Cortez kept the wide receiver rotation the way that it was. And this is where having a dude really helps out. And we did have a guy who was probably going to be our best receiver, and that was Aaron Anderson. And I thought, for me at least, having Kyren Lacy there for Garrett Nussmeier was so big. Because while there were times where I would say, hey, Garrett is just staring down Kyren way too much. He's guessing. He's getting lucky on some of these throws. And, it would be nice if we could not throw the football to Kyren as much as we did, but at the same time, we needed that alpha, and we just didn't have that alpha on this team this year. We thought for a second it was going to be Berrion Brown. No, sir. Aaron, when he was healthy, was still having a good season. He got hurt. So we were without a slot receiver, and then we were out Berrion not having the season that we thought he was going to have. Garrett was regressing, and then our best receiver ended up being Xavion Thomas. And we thought Chris was going to be that guy. Chris went to SEC Media Days. He just wasn't that guy. So while Cortez took some criticism today, at the same time, some of this falls on the people in that room. And some of this falls on Garrett. Some of this falls on the offense. So there you go. Let's go to Alex. Discord link is for our patrons. Alex, sign up for our Patreon. Ask Jared Addison. Ask Sherry Berry. The Patreon is where the money is being made. Seriously, you guys send me money and it helps out. And for you, Alex, I'm going to do something just for you because you're flexing, dude. You're in shape. I'm not just going to cover your first month. I'm going to make this special just for you, Alex, because I've seen you in here so many times. I'm going to cover your first 2 months of Patreon. Okay? So sign up now, $9.99 a month, Joe Burrow link, the Joey package, if you will. And I'll even send you a Joe Burrow card in the mail. Okay? Let's go to Jalen Bryant. Wait, is this Vegas, Jalen? We got a few Jalens in here. Is this Vegas? Please tell me this is Vegas, Jalen. Because actually, me, you, and Jared actually took a photo together. But we got a few Jalens that are taller. All right, King, I got you. I'll cover your first 2 months as well. Hit the link down below, and I'll send both of you a Joe Burrow card in the mail. There you go. And you'll get to be a part of the Discord and all of it, and I'll Venmo you the money immediately. So this isn't Vegas Jalen. Oh my God, this is not Vegas Jalen. But I still love you. The other Jalen is a huge, huge Kentucky basketball fan, and I feel terrible for him. But Man-Child Francis, breakout season next year. Yeah, you know what was frustrating, Jalen, was he was brought up a few times by Frank. We just never got to see him. And how can he play? It's impossible with the logjam that we had at the position. Let's go to Chooch. I don't think we actually had a true running play other than the time we lined Jack Pyburn up in the backfield. Huh? I want to send this to him. Yeah, there's some truth to that. Some of it was they lined up terribly. Some of it also, though, was, hey, we actually had someone back there that wanted to knock somebody's face off. And there's Sherry Bear. There you go. Let's go to someone that actually knows this young man. I got to watch Man-Child every day of practice, and in game, he is one of the best receivers in the nation. So did you see him at LSU practice? Are you an insider on a burner, or did you see him at and the car practice? Let me know. Yeah, and the car. Now, it's normally time for a fortifying Gulf Coast break and a labor therapy break, but just got a message from our friends at labor therapy. They said, don't run the spot tonight unless you need a break. That's what the people at Labor Therapy do for you guys. They're like, Carter, we're just a fan of the channel. We just want to support. But if you're in need of physical therapy, there's 5 different locations throughout Lafayette. Check out labortherapy.com. Yep. Power hour, 5-hour energy. They need to sponsor the channel. Okay. I want to get back into some LSU content, but I do want to talk about sports media for a second. And since we are on the topic of Patreon and all of that, I was going to do a break sharing what the Patreon bonuses are because people learn about it every day. We also have the membership program where you click the join button and you get extra film studies with the membership program and members-only videos, and that's a part of YouTube. Okay, so this is happening for everybody on YouTube. You know, super chats have gone down for a lot of different content creators, all kinds of bonuses, and it's the economy, all right? And my viewership's gone up, and there you go. And I knew Jared was going to drop this right when I said this. That's why I love you, but I love you more than that. Shout out to the fam. But this is so big today. So Barstool announced that they're moving their three biggest shows to Netflix. All right. And one of them is Pardon My Take. It's the greatest sports podcast I consider on the planet for quite a few reasons. It's not my favorite, but I do think it's the greatest, and I won't get into all the different reasons as to why. I've had the good fortune to sit next to those guys at an LSU game before. So Ryan Russillo, who's also a friend of the channel, his show's going behind Netflix as well. So why do I say all of that? Well, the good thing about YouTube is it will take what Netflix is paying them for me to get off YouTube. I freaking love YouTube. I've had YouTube projects that none of you know about that have bombed horribly. Power Hour LSU, Power Hour SEC, and Power Hour NFL. Lucky enough, they have not bombed. But I wanted to go on this diatribe for a bit because you do see ads that happen during the stream and all of that. Understand that I get a little bit of those ads. Okay, now I can click this button and an ad will pop up for you guys like automatically, like on YouTube's end. But at the same time, and one might have popped up there because I didn't click the button. This is me speaking on behalf of Blake, speaking on behalf of Tingle, because I don't know the Tingle guys that well. I don't know Tingle at all, but anytime you watch those guys' stuff and you see an ad, understand how cool it is that these people that do these shows that you find somewhat entertaining, they're doing it for free. And I understand it's frustrating that like some content gets put behind a paywall. Trust me, I wish everybody can have my membership. I wish everybody can have Shea Dixon's great On Three reporting or The Athletic or all of that. But in particular for smaller creators, it helps out so much. It really, really, really does. Which is why, you know, I feel like I'm giving you good return on investment with the Discord and all of that. But there you go. Just a quick diatribe. Because now, those great Barstool shows, you could still listen to them for free. But to watch them, which they are entertaining, you got to have Netflix. I don't have Netflix. I don't. My wife does, so I watch it on her account. So technically we do. I think it's actually her mom's account. But yeah, just understand, I'm always going to be on YouTube, though. This is my favorite platform. It really is, okay? Let's go to Amicat. He says, it's difficult to judge coaches. It's all based on how the players perform. Davis and Hankton looked pretty good when Neighbors, Thomas, and Campbell were still there. And that's a God's honest truth. So I actually know a pretty high-level coaching agency that grades all the assistant coaches. And I've actually seen some of the data that they have. It's pretty extensive, and they have their own analytics for how they grade coaches based on how they recruit and then how they develop those recruits and how they mesh well with certain systems that speeds up or slows down or any of that. And what's very interesting about those recruiting rankings and those scores is they are still so coordinator dependent. They really, really, really are. And for me, like, there you go. Alex just joined. There you go, Alex. I'll Venmo you the $20 here in a second. Or actually, send me a message on Patreon. I'll send it to you right now. Same thing for you, King. What's very interesting is when you actually break down how every position group is graded, it simply does come down to how good your players are. Now, is there some development mixed in there? Sure, right? Like, for instance, Kansas State under the Bill Snyder era, they didn't have some ridiculously crazy scheme that they ran with Michael Bishop and Darren Sproles and all of that. But they were elite developers. And I think the modern version of this is Kirk Cignetti, right? Kirk Cignetti is the best coach in college football this season. Now, he's not the best coach. It's still Kirby Smart by a wide margin, in my opinion. But Cignetti is really good at evaluating and developing. Like, he is truly transcendently good at this very thing. And I had this explained to me by someone that would know this thing. And he says that the way that his staff sees things is different. They're really good at getting these three-star kind of journeyman players to really step up and play together as a team. They're really good problem solvers. And honestly, that's a great thing. But how many people do you truly think are great at that? That can see things better than all the eyes that grade prospects on 247, all the eyes that grade prospects on On3, all the eyes that grade prospects at ESPN, all the eyes that grade prospects in the ACC, the SEC, the Big 12, throughout college football. There's probably maybe four or five other staffs that are really good at that.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
So how many position coaches would you say are probably really good at that? I don't know. It's tough to say. Because so much of it is now, hey, who's paying me the most? And if you get into, well, back in the SEC day, everybody paid everyone. Okay, sure. That's true. There is some truth to that. But it's not out in the open now. I mean, I still don't think people understand how big this tweet was by USC. So USC tweeted out that Jordan Maiava is coming back. All right. But it's not that they tweeted that out and Maiava is their best quarterback. Okay. It's how they actually did it, all right? And this isn't Maiava, but this is a different player that they did. Really good running back, Wayman Jordan. All right, I want you to see this. Boom. This is how they do NFL announcements. Go look at any NFL announcement. They do it just like this. Y'all, this is the NFL. This is exactly how they do it. This is exactly how they do it. All right. So while players have always been paid, it's now direct conversations. There you go. Welcome, Smooth the Kid. You just joined as well. Welcome. There you go, Tony. Oh, there you go. Tony, I'm going to send you a little something extra as well. So, Tony, just send me your address, and I'll give you the link to the Discord. Same thing for you, Alex. Just message me in the app. Thank you. Big, big, big help. But let's go to Ronnie Super Chat. We'll get to Guitar George. A true freshman offensive lineman playing used to be unheard of. Why is Curran deciding to leave? Was it an NIL negotiation he didn't like? So I'll share what I shared at the beginning. Some of it is coach-related. He came to LSU because of Brad Davis. It's just that simple. All right? And Brad Davis is not being retained. Now, is that 110% the reason he's leaving now? I don't know. I've not talked to him. But I will tell you, during his recruitment, I've spoken to this kid. He said, Carter, as long as Brian Davis is there, I'm going. I'm staying. Now, Brad's not going to be here. A lot of kids commit to the position coach and not the school. He's a five-star offensive lineman. If you're a five-star offensive lineman and you don't play in year one and you go into the portal, you're still going to make a lot of money because there's just not a lot of guys out there. There's just not. Thank you. I appreciate it. Now, Smooth the Kid, since you just joined the Patreon, this is my question for you, since you're a Cowboys fan. When will old George Pickens be back? My fantasy lineup desperately needs it because I'm going up against stinking Preston Guy tomorrow. And Preston was on here. We even showed you the fantasy matchup. I hate Preston's guts. And he was bragging about benching Joe Burrow in favor of Justin Herbert. So that's what I need to know, Smooth the Kid. When are we going to get George Pickens back? Because when George Pickens is on, how many wide receivers in the NFL are funner than him? Holy crap. Okay. Let's go to Guitar George. Will BK's tenure be seen as a net positive or a net negative given all of the most recent developments on the staff and roster? This is a very good question. And I could opine on this for hours. It was a net, okay. Obviously, Brian Kelly inherited a mess that Ed Orgeron left behind. Is the mess that Lane Kiffin is cleaning up, is it harder than what Brian Kelly left behind? Yes, I do think so. And I'm not saying that just to be sympathetic to Lane. Remember, we had Garrett Nussmeier coming back. Then we had the Miles Brennan thing. And then we had Jaden Daniels. And then we had Walker Howard sign. So that was arguably one of the most talented quarterback rooms we have ever had at LSU in Brian Kelly's first season. Now, he had the 39 scholarship guys and all of that mumbo jumbo. But this was different. Now, I do think this one's going to be tougher with the 9-game conference schedule. And you got to ask yourself, do you think if we land Trinidad Chambliss, is he as good as Jaden Daniels? I mean, I don't know. Probably not. And Jaden was still very good in 2022. I will say year 5 Trinidad is probably going to be, or it would be year 6 Trinidad, is probably a better quarterback than, in Lane's system at LSU, it's probably a better quarterback than year 1 Jaden. But, you know, what I would say where Brian Kelly got very unlucky is that a lot of the elite players that we brought in weren't good. I wish there was another way I could put that. They just were not good. 2022 was one of the best recruiting classes we have ever had at LSU, ever. And that was Brian Kelly's first full class. And that class had a bunch of studs in it. But 2023 was a disaster. A lot of the elite kids in that class weren't that good. And they haven't been good at their next stops outside of Lance Hurd and Womack to a certain degree this year. Now, we did have Whit Weeks in that class, and Whit's obviously a really good player. And then, of course, you had 2024. You had Caden Durham in that class. But there was a lot of whiffs in there as well. I'm telling you right now, it is a miracle. Miracle that Shelton Sampson did not catch a pass at LSU. This was a near bulletproof prospect who did dip in the rankings. He was a five-star and then kind of dipped, but he was still a top 100 prospect. He didn't catch a single pass at LSU. So some of that was offensive environment. Some of that was obviously a really competitive position group. But a lot of the elite four and five-star guys that we brought in, so like guys that you would consider to be top 150 players, they just were not good. And sometimes that happens, that you just get the few top 150 guys that aren't good. They all go to your school. So is it, were you just brutally unlucky? Or did they leave a place where they weren't being developed and they went to a spot where they were developed to where they needed to be in order to contribute at an SEC or just anywhere level? So to answer that is, yeah, Brian Kelly's tenure will be seen as a negative in the eyes of many because he didn't make a playoff and he didn't win a national championship. But we did go to one SEC championship game. That was kind of lucky because that's how the format was at the time. We wouldn't have gone in the current format. And we didn't win a Heisman Trophy. And we had a bunch of Biletnikoffs. We had a first-round offensive line. Our offensive line recruiting got better. Our tight end recruiting got better. But yeah, I think it is fair to consider it a negative. And I understand, like, my viewership goes down if I talk too much about Brian Kelly because people are just so sick of hearing it. But I do think nationally, though, people will view the Brian Kelly era as good because he did have two 10-win seasons and he did have the Heisman Trophy. And it will be considered a rash move that we made this move as quickly as we did. But anyone with actual eyes knows that Brian Kelly was one of the luckiest coaches in the SEC over the past 5 years. And the truth is, one of my criticisms of Brian Kelly coming into LSU is that when he was at Notre Dame, he was very lucky. There was a lot of things that went in his favor while he was at Notre Dame. A lot. And I can go down the list. All right. So, you know, with someone like Lane, the thing that makes Lane very impressive is he's done what he's done with all these different types of quarterbacks at Ole Miss. Okay. Let's go to Peggy, one of our biggest supporters on the Twitter machine. And her daughter is also a supporter as well. So welcome, Peggy. So you said there weren't a lot of linemen in the portal. You don't think many more will enter? Yeah, so we had Cooper Patagna on recently, a very good resource. And he's a transfer portal czar. He gets paid a comfortable amount of money by CBS and 247 Sports to evaluate transfer portal prospects, and he's really sharp. And he's worked in actual athletic departments. He's worked for Nick Saban, and so on and so on. And I consider Cooper a really good friend. And per his own data, and we talked about this on his podcast recently, he had one NFL draftable grade on one offensive lineman that's in the portal. Okay, now it's not the worst thing, but he said the pickings were slim, basically. Now, have all the offensive linemen that we know of entered the portal yet? No, and some of them will look at it as a pure supply and demand thing, where their agents are going to be like, hey, there's not a whole lot of you in here. If you get in here, you're going to get X amount from school Y. So it's going to happen. It's going to happen. Let's go to Big Dex. Carter B, that was crazy. I knew Shelton Sampson was going to level up at LSU and didn't catch a pass. It's weird. It's weird. Okay. So Smooth the Kid told me CeeDee Lamb was off 1 week and then bounced back versus the Chiefs. Yeah, I don't know. I just need Pickens to go off this weekend. I do. He's definitely, he can't be less than top five right now. a five-star with SEC starter experience, doesn't matter how good they are. There's just going to be people that are going to be like, hey, I'm taking a chance. This is worth a $250,000 dart throw without even watching them, to be honest. Okay, everybody, welcome downtown, Jake. You're not a new viewer, though. I'm going to call you out on that. I've seen you in here before. Good to see you. I can't forget that baseball avatar. By the way, we do cover LSU baseball, and it's not going to be diehard coverage, Joe. Blake Ruffino's great at that. There's many other LSU people that are great at that. But I am really excited to see Jay Johnson kick some more ass. And by the way, the best LSU follow on Twitter, twitter.com, the Elon Musk X site, is a guy by the name of Chris Martin. Now, I'm not talking about Coldplay. I'm not talking about don't get caught seeing him at a concert if you're a CEO of a big Fortune 500 company because you're cheating on your wife with the side chick. Not that Chris Martin. I'm talking about Chris Martin, the LSU baseball strength and conditioning coach. Holy crap. I even tweeted him. I work out a bunch. And he gave me some good workout tips. So go follow that guy. Now, once again, he's tweeting out like high-level baseball-only workouts. But I played AAU baseball. I said play. I use the word play liberally. I was not great. But you should go follow Chris Martin. And I'm just saying that, even if you're not an LSU fan, he's tweeting out all kinds of exercise science stuff. Okay? Now, here's what we're going to do. In the next 5 to 10 minutes, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you super chat, we'll keep this party moving. We just had a new wave of viewers come in, so good to see all of your beautiful faces. Look, I am of the belief, me personally, I don't know about you, but I'm excited about the future of LSU football. But I am just as excited about LSU basketball. How about Malaysia Fort Wiley living up to expectations? Now, we'll see how the conference play comes to be. We really don't know what LSU is going to do because the level of competition has been what it's been. And, man, we're going to be good. We're going to be good. We got Michaela Williams. We're going to be good. We got Flauge. We're going to be good. We got Malaysia. We're going to be good. I'm excited. And I'll be going to an LSU men's basketball game pretty soon. Pretty excited about that. I'm gonna go see my Tigers. Ripped up Samuel, good to see you. And if you're interested in getting ripped, I can get you a one-on-one session with Samuel, just a one-on-one free consultation. No questions asked. And Samuel could take you on as a client. He'll get you in shape. Kern just looking good to get, just looking to get paid. Our new staff not giving him a spot. You know, it's for me, I don't know. I don't know specifically in Karius's case. What I can tell you, though, well, I'll say this. I don't know a gazillion percent, okay? But this happens. This happens. Anytime there's a new staff coming in, your role's not guaranteed. And Curran's going to get paid. I mean, it's just that simple, dude. It's just that simple. Let's go to Roby. Can we hear you online broadcasting the college basketball game play-by-play? You can. I don't have a game on the schedule until January, mid-January, so it's going to be a while. But since Roby super chatted, I'll play one of the clips, if you guys don't mind. By the way, speaking of basketball, I am a little frustrated that that people are like just crapping all over the NBA Cup. I wasn't going to play this, but this was from, there's actually a funny story regarding this clip that I'll share. That is very like national news oriented. Okay. So here's my latest clip. This isn't my best clip. There's a few things I would have done differently about this call. I don't have my headset here. We had to make it work with this stick microphone.
Williams. Floater's no good. Another steal. Xavier. And one. Are you kidding me? Xavier Myers hung in the air like a blimp. And he'll go to the line for a bonus free throw. Bring me some beignets, Xavier, from the 504, from the best bank in New Orleans, Louisiana. And with 40 seconds left to go, Xavier Myers will get a bonus here. And it's so silky smooth. Williams.
There you go. Hope you enjoyed that, Roby. I try and do my best. It's a lot of work. But I'm very fortunate that I do get compensated for it. And I'm trying to do a game on ESPN by the end of the year. Okay. So quick story on that clip. So Xavier Myers went to Archbishop Shaw. And I tweeted that clip out a day before they played in the state championship game. And they were the team that lost the state championship game in football, where the kid threw his helmet off. And it was like the most miraculous state final ending in Louisiana history. So I was tagging Archbishop Shaw in the clips, not knowing that impending doom was on the way. Because I want to highlight, because Xavier Myers, I mean, this is a NJCAA Division II. So I want to give him all the shine he can get. I do think he can play at a higher level than where he's playing. And he's also from New Orleans. Okay. So his mom's become a big fan of the basketball streams. So I was like, you know, man, that was a great play by Xavier. I was like, damn, dude. And then I felt terrible because Archbishop Shaw was getting like just random basketball mentions while they were going through literally the worst moment in their school's history. So yeah, I'll post a link. Let me see. I got my schedule here somewhere. My next game. And by the way, I'll call your game. If you need me to come call a game this weekend, I could do it. January 17th. There we go. I'm excited. Jules, I appreciate you. But there we go. My dad's en route to go see the Pelicans play. They're so much fun, man. Pelicans have gotten to be so much fun to watch. Going for three in a row. Whatever Jeremiah Fears wants in life is what I want in life. That's all there is to it. All right, so I've been waiting to see, because there's a piece of me that wants to bet James Madison this weekend. Oregon questionable wide receivers: DeCorian Moore, Gary Bryant, and Evan Stewart. They still have their tight end, Kenyon Sadiq, who's a superstar. But I'm telling you right now, dude, the sharps are all over. They're all over Oregon in this game. All right, let's go here. Is there any shot that we could trade Herb or Zion and get back into the first round? No. Okay. It's kind of crazy because this is very strange. So the former Saints general manager is Terry Fontenot, and he's the general manager of the Atlanta Falcons. And he made a trade similar to that of the Saints, right? An unprotected trade to go back into the first round to draft a first-round graded prospect that slid for whatever reason. And it looks like it's going to work for the Falcons. So they traded back in to get James Pierce, the edge rusher out of Tennessee, and he looks really good. But it wasn't a smart trade, right? Because if James Pierce is a bust, you could be paying a big price, because that pick could be the number one pick. If the Falcons went like 0-16, the Rams would have had the number one overall pick. So Pelicans do the same thing with Derek Queen, and they hit it out the park. Now, should there have been a protection on that pick? Yeah. I mean, I think Atlanta, ironically, who they trade with, the Hawks, they're probably still sending that trade if you give them, like, what, top two protection maybe? But, you know, we traded it, and we're probably making that trade. If we knew Derek Queen was what he was, we're making that trade 100 times out of 100. Would I take Derek Queen over A.J. DiBenesta or the Patterson kid out of Kansas? I don't know. I am, though, because I like Derek Queen. He plays a honorable style of basketball. I always cheer for my below-the-rim superstars. Yeah, I've seen some pretty, well, Derek Queen's got the most value, but I get what you're saying, like reasonable players. I've seen some wild trades. There was one for Trey to trade for Scoot Henderson and picks. I was like, no, pass the blunt before you do that. That's not happening. Interesting. Tulane put one of their better receivers as doubtful for the playoff game. Betting Tulane, though, just seems like such a sucker play. It really does seem like just sucker stuff. Now let's say hi to all the super chatters. Ronnie, Jared Addison, Mello, Guitar George, and Roby, who made y'all suffer one of my basketball calls. What if, like, the head producer of ESPN was watching and they're like, that's our next Dan Shulman right there. Move over, Dan. Carter's sitting next to Jay Billis now. Crazy. And big thanks to all our new super, our new patrons. Got some fun patrons. Love to see it, okay? It is Power Hour LSU. Boom. Special thanks. A commercial-free edition of tonight's show was thanks to our friends at Laborde Therapy. And by commercial-free, commercials on my end that I play at a certain point in time. And tonight we are doing burgers. Let's go. Let's go.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner, so you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.